Disney Guardians of the Galaxy theme.
Yeah, I can't wait for this ride.
Tribute Tuesday for Stan Lee, who passed away at the age of 95 yesterday. Marvel themes throughout the afternoon. It's the 4 o'clock hour here on the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Bill Baby Tosh Schmidt on the other side of the glass. Later this hour, we'll check in with Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari. He makes his weekly visit coming up shortly, 4:35, here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Now, this is one I have seen.
You have seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
Big fan of this one.
Now, why did you see this but haven't seen any of the other ones?
Batista was in it.
Oh, okay.
I had to see what was going on.
He's really good in it.
He is.
He's landing a bunch of roles from it, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good at
acting. And also
acting.
Teasing that he's going to come back to the ring.
Don't do that.
Yeah, why?
Why would you do that?
It was going to be him and Triple H, but get this. Triple H decided to fight like 2 weeks ago. Tore his pec.
How old is he? 65?
He's 40
no way.
Something.
He's got to be close.
What?
It was DX against the Brothers of Destruction.
He looks so much older than that.
Yeah. Wait, who was it?
Mm-hmm. It was DX against the Brothers of Destruction for the first time ever.
Is it one of them dead?
No.
No, they're all still alive, right?
One of them's in office.
Yeah, X-Pac, Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
It was Shawn Michaels and Triple H against Undertaker and Kane.
Oh, okay. So it was just those two guys.
It, was
it wasn't
those two
all
as
of DX.
DX. Yeah.
But are any
China's
of,
dead? If you're talking about
China is dead.
Of,
yes. That's, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's the final on China.
So that was Gary's girl.
Those two are still wrestling.
Well, not anymore. Triple H decided to tear his pack.
He's 49.
Yep.
Dude.
He's 50 next year.
Look at Shawn Michaels.
What's he trying to do? Is he competing?
Undertaker's 55, probably.
And he can barely move.
Oh, it's bad. It's so bad.
That's why. Don't come at me with how great the WWE is when Vince McMahon is just continuing to trot out senior citizens to try and go out there and wrestle because they got nothing else.
Yeah, because they have no young, up-and-coming superstars to speak of.
They have one that was dominating the sport. Now, he's just had to step away the last 3 weeks due to a battle of leukemia.
Yeah, he's really sick. Yeah.
Okay.
That was Roman Reigns?
Mm-hmm. Right.
For a second, I thought you were alluding to yourself.
Man, they don't even want the smoke that Carson Jenkins is going to bring to the WWE. So
if you
fine.
Don't know, Carson Jenkins is Baby Tosh's alter ego, his wrestling persona.
Do you have a Twitter account
when he steps in the ring?
No.
Why not?
Kidding me? I'm a lone wolf. I'm just a drifter.
I love
how you never know where Carson Jenkins is going to show up.
Oh,
man.
There's a lot of Carson Jenkins.
I love how he instantly snaps into character.
Yeah.
Once we start talking about Austin Jenkins.
Carson Jenkins.
Carson Jenkins.
Bro, if you're going to say my name on the radio, you're going to publicize what I am. At least do it right.
Dude,
at least put some respect and put it right.
The actual Carson Jenkins that owns the Twitter account? Hasn't tweeted since 2012, only has two total tweets ever.
Guess why?
Two followers, six followers, two tweets.
Put him in his place, huh,
Finished
Carson?
Him.
Yeah.
You need to get that Twitter account. Doesn't have a picture or nothing.
Oh, man. I'm a fan of Carson Jenkins. Dude, 1 year when we were 2 years ago in Arizona, he cut like a half-hour promo in the backyard of the house that we stay in as Carson Jenkins. Yes, the alcohol was flowing. But yeah, he went on for like a half hour about being Carson Jenkins.
Well, he had his chance to go be a wrestler, and Carson Jenkins couldn't handle it.
All I'm saying is when you hit those,
I got him hooked
up. You hit that, Matt, and woo, that's a different level. I like getting hit with pads on. I don't like hitting a hardwood like that.
I got
that
Billy hooked up to give him a chance to try and really do this.
Didn't some big Joker clothesline you over the top rope in like a battle royal?
It's horrifying.
Am I remembering this
that was
right?
Huge.
Well, tell everybody what happened.
Well, I was in the middle of the battle royal, Casablanca Rumble 12, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was Great Lakes Championship Wrestling.
Yes,
Dave Hero.
Yep. And it was set up, and we're in there, and I came out. I had my 105.7 FM The Fan cutoff polo on. I was handing out, you know, gifts because I was the celebrity. Who did?
Right.
Everybody was there to see me. Let's
right.
be honest.
Okay.
That's exactly why people came to the event. It was
because they wanted to
see the big show.
Right.
And
not that big show.
I get in there, and I eliminate one man, and then all of a sudden I turn around and I gave a pump. I was fired up. First elimination. And you should have seen the Mark Henry lookalike that was standing behind me when I got off. It's horrified. And no idea what to do.
And he put you right over the top rope.
Yeah, and I like went to give him a little push, and I knew that there was no chance. Like, I got my hands onto him, and he didn't move. I had a good base. I had a perfect I was in line. I stepped right through the crowd, exactly what they teach in O-line school. Uh-huh. Yep. And there was no moving this Joker. No. So it was done.
That was it.
And you never wrestled again.
That was the end of, that was the end of Carson Jenkins.
I got tossed out, and Carson Jenkins is going to live on. You never really, really know where he's going to show up, though, because Carson Jenkins is a young man who grew up on the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, and really didn't have much throughout his entire life. That's when I tell you what I know is who I've become through the experiences that I've had growing up on
Are
my
you
own.
Done with this yet, Sparky? Are you done with him? Are you done?
Dude,
are you done with Carson Jenkins yet?
This is all I'm going to say about this, all right? Just real quick. So this fool here, Carson Jenkins, Baby Tosh, whatever you want to call him today, Baby Tosh, that personality, has a podcast, you and Tim Allen, right? What's it called, Tim and Tosh?
Tim and Tosh in the Morning.
Right, okay. So they've got their own deal. I don't, for the life of me, understand how Carson Jenkins does not have his own podcast.
Don't Carson encourage
Jenkins
this.
Carson Jenkins should have his own podcast analyzing Raw and SmackDown every week, going over match by match and talking about how much better he might be than said people, and tweet it at the WWE and see what happens.
Yeah, the issue was this joker, Cody Grant, decided that he was going to step up to Carson Jenkins on the WWE podcast. 1057FMTheFan.com.
Oh, so Carson Jenkins has made an appearance. Oh, okay.
It didn't turn out well for one Cody Grant. So Carson Jenkins decided to step off.
Did you put him through a table? What happened?
Have you seen him? He's got a little bit of a twitch now.
Guess you're going to have to check out to the radio.com app.
He's got a little bit of a twitch now.
I'll go check that out.
I didn't know that was you.
Hey, we have just a few minutes here. Let's address the news of the day in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers call his bluff. And he follows through with it, did not show up at the 3 p.m. local time deadline to Steelers camp to get whatever he could contract-wise out of the Steelers this year and then enter free agency next year. He's going to sit out the whole 2018 season, Sparky. On the one hand, I respect a guy who sticks with what he believes in and doesn't crumble under the pressure. On the other hand, dude, you just left $15 million on the table. And there is no guarantee that you come back and you're just Le'Veon Bell all of a sudden again. I don't know that teams are going to be willing to give him the contract this offseason that they would have been willing to give him in these last two offseasons when the Steelers have franchise tagged him, because A, they're going to question his commitment to the game, fairly or not, and B, a year away from the game, that's probably the hardest game to walk away from and then try and just walk back onto the field and expect to perform. The NFL... being away from a year of taking hits and everything that goes into being a running back at that level, it's not easy to just walk back on the field after a year off from that and be that same dude right away.
He'll be that same dude right away. Don't you worry about Le'Veon Bell. This is the thing, though. I think it's going to be a one-year deal with the Patriots for like $20 million, something crazy like that. It's going to be a one-year deal with the Patriots for whatever it is to try and give Brady another ring on the way out. And then Bell will go play somewhere else after he shows himself right. I saw odds. There's different websites that have odds out already. Packers are 7-1. They're like the fourth best team to get Le'Veon Bell. I don't see them going after Le'Veon
Bell. If Aaron Jones keeps doing what he's done to this point in the season, if his role grows, I don't see why you would spend that money on Le'Veon Bell.
Even if it doesn't, you have more pressing needs on defense. I mean, for all the money you're spending on Le'Veon Bell, you can get two really good defenders to go on the other side of the football where you need help. Le'Veon Bell is a great player. Don't get me wrong. And he could help anybody. But to think that Green Bay should spend all that money on him when they've got two good running backs at this point, I think they're both good running backs. I don't see any reason why the Green Bay Packers should get involved in this Le'Veon Bell thing. Unless it's a one-year deal. But even if it's a one-year deal, I don't know. I mean, if it's a one-year deal, then you're saying, okay, we're going for it all right now. Right?
Yeah.
Because they would have the room to do a one-year deal because Clay Matthews is out the door, Randall Cobb is out the door. You're going to have guys leaving after this year to where you could give them a high, really high one-year offer and try and go for it next year and then just hope that that draft class that you get in April, which will be heavy on defense, I would think, has some type of impact like Jair Alexander has had, and you can get 2-3 impact players on defense to go along with what you already have and hope that's enough to continue to improve the defense.
Adam Schefter tweets this out as we're having this discussion from ESPN. Before today, Le'Veon Bell had lost out on $8.5 million in wages for the 2018 season. Today, the remaining $6 million goes away. Bell is bidding goodbye to $14.5 million to stay healthy and strike a mega deal this offseason. If he takes a one-year deal from the Patriots or anybody else, Sparky, to me, that defeats the purpose of what he just did. of this whole holdout, this whole standoff he's had with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's doing this to strike a big deal, and he's expressed that vocally and point blank that he wants to change the way running backs are treated and paid in the NFL because teams are scared to give running backs these long-term mega deals because of the short shelf life of running backs at the NFL level, and he's saying that that needs to change, that they're doing as much to help teams win football games as anybody else, and he says he's doing this as much for running backs in the league right now and future running backs as he is for himself. He wants to send a message with this next deal, and I don't think a one-year contract with the Patriots, even if it is for $20 million, necessarily accomplishes what he's talking about. I think that the smartest thing for Le'Veon Bell to do would be to sit out up until now, then report today, and look, this whole thing is about staying healthy so he can get that deal in the offseason. They're not just going to hand the keys over to Le'Veon Bell as soon as he walks in the door with everything James Conner has done this year. The best thing that could have happened to Le'Veon Bell was James Conner or somebody else steps up the way that he did. So when Le'Veon Bell does come back, he's not going to have to carry the full load of a running back. He's going to go into the offseason, fingers crossed, relatively healthy and fresh because he's only going to play six games and he's going to be sharing the workload with Connor for those six games.
But look at what happened too when, if you are Le'Veon Bell, and there seems like there have been different steps along the way this year where you thought that he was going to go and then something showed a sign of why he was doing it. Remember with Earl Thomas going out,
right?
He held out, he gets hurt. That was right around the first time it sounded like Le'Veon was going to report around week 4 week 5, and then he's in Pittsburgh last week. Des Bryant's been out the entire year. He comes back to practice one day, shows, I mean, you can be working out as much as you can, but these guys are all in midseason form. How can you be in midseason form? You're not playing football.
Well, and the other thing is, Rami, I mean, you're not doing it on purpose, but this is how Le'Veon Bell is perceiving himself to be some type of martyr. Oh, I'm doing it for everybody else. You know, it's going to cost me, but it'll help all the other running backs in the NFL. Dude, stop, dude. Come on, man. You're doing it for everybody else. You're doing it for you, man. This is about you saving your legs, trying to get some monster deal and be the guy that's the highest paid player in the National Football League. That's what this dude's trying to do. And you want to know something else? It ain't going to be about winning for him. He's going to take the biggest money that he can get from whoever it is. It will not matter who gives him the deal, Rami. It won't. It could be the Browns. It can be whoever. He's going to go to the highest bidder. This is not going to be about winning for Le'Veon Bell or how much success he'll have in his next stop. It will be simply about dollars and cents. Who's going to pay me the most so I can live comfortably the rest of my life? And I think he can live comfortably the rest of his life with what he's made already. But he can take it to a whole different level with the next contract.
Now this is going to sound weird. This is all relative, so don't jump on me. At Rami is tweeting. He's only made $15 million to this point in his career. And I say only because of what he's set himself up to make in the future and with the rest of his career. And that's sort of his point, is this is the one big payday that he's going to get as a running back in the NFL, and he's not going to blow it getting hurt or even getting banged up and taking miles off his future.
How much did you say?
Playing for the Steelers. 15 million.
He could have made that this year.
I know.
By playing one more year and doubled his career earnings.
I understand that, but he's looking at the long money, which is smart on some level. Yeah, he sacrificed $15 million, and that's not easy for anybody to do. I don't care how much you've already made or how much you stand to make. But on some level, it's kind of smart what he did, and I do respect him for, again, sticking to his guns. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. It's David Bakhtiari's weekly visit to the Wendy's. Big show right before they get on the plane to head to Seattle. That's coming up next. In the Sports Flash, speaking of those Packers and that trip to Seattle, 4 Packers starters not getting on that plane to go and face the Seahawks. Baby Tosh has the names for you right now. It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and there is Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari on the Beauforting tap line. David, how are you this afternoon, man?
Cold.
Cold? Are you calling us from outside?
No, I'm actually currently in the cold tub right now.
Oh, okay. That had to feel good on Sunday, not just getting the win over the Dolphins, but the way you guys got the win over the Dolphins. You've expressed your desire to run the ball more and get out and run over some guys in the run game previously here on the Wendy's Big Show, and you got a chance to do just that, leading the way for Aaron Jones on Sunday. That had to feel pretty good, David.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Getting the win is good. We just got to, like I said, stay on this track, start, you know, stacking the successes.
Let's talk about this defensive line for the Dolphins. It looked like they were creating all kinds of havoc up front on you guys. Are they, I would assume, one of the tougher defensive lines to deal with in the league?
What do you mean by creating havoc?
It seemed like they were moving all around and getting some pressure on Rodgers a little bit in that game.
I tend to disagree.
Okay.
They got some good edge guys, but, I mean, what we were able to do, running the ball, we created a lot of opportunities. And then, obviously, with that is we were doing a lot of, you know, shot plays and play action and, you know, movements with that, which obviously will, you know, those take time to progress. And then with that, you know, that's where we create, you know, like to extend plays and create opportunities where Aaron will, you know, extend a play and keep it running. So I guess from that end, that's what it seemed. But other than that, I thought, you know, as a unit, we held our line really well.
What about the running game? Talked about, Aaron Jones had huge holes to run through it and took advantage of those holes. Rodgers said something earlier today about how it really kind of hasn't been your guys' deal to run the ball all that much in the red zone, and that maybe that Aaron Jones is starting to go, you guys will run more in the red zone. Has that always been a thing, I guess, with Green Bay? I was trying to rack my brain and think of, you know, has this always been an issue where you guys never really ran the ball a lot inside the opponent 20, or is that something that's mainly come across this year?
You know, funny joke is usually when we get in the red zone, that's usually Rodgers' zone. We want to make sure he throws a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I think the way it's really been is we create so many opportunities and we can do so much more with throwing it. Now we are so dynamic, having the running backs that we have, specifically Aaron, that we can create more opportunities also on the ground as well to get in the end zone, which is, you know, as this past weekend showed, he had half the touchdowns in that game, which is big.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, here on the Wendy's Big Show, as we do every Tuesday right around this time. Was that a point of emphasis in the game plan going into that game against the Dolphins, was to run the ball a little bit more than you guys have in the past? And is that something that we should expect, or is it going to be based on matchups and what presents itself in a given week and a given opponent?
I think you should always we always have an emphasis going into the week of what we like, but at the end of the day, if something's rolling, you know, Coach McCarthy is going to keep calling it. I think, you know, he saw right away our ability to slash their defense on the ground game and saw Aaron was hot right from the get-go from his first carry. It, you know, made him extremely effective. And I think coaches kept calling his number and he kept, you know, not only his number, but the offensive line's number. And we were able to just keep producing. So why not give them the ball?
Now you have this short turnaround, and you guys traveling right away today for this Thursday night game in Seattle. It's not like it's in Minnesota, and it's a short flight for you. How crazy is this week for you guys with a short trip to Seattle, a short week for Seattle?
I mean, it's definitely been pretty crazy. Thankfully, we didn't get as many plays as we normally do. We usually shoot for around 70-plus on offense, and we were actually a lot lower than that in this game, so definitely feeling a little bit better. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, absolutely cramped these past couple days. I mean, I was up this morning at 5 a.m., went to go get some extra work done on my body, go see a chiropractor. So, I mean, I've been up since 5 a.m. rolling, and, you know, I'm still at the office, and I still have to get on a flight and travel.
Yeah, Gary was saying yesterday, Gary Ellerson, who's normally with us when we're talking with you, David, and played running back for the Packers back in the 80s, that physically he wasn't back to normal. He didn't feel himself again after a Sunday afternoon game until the following Friday. How much of a challenge is it physically in terms of just getting your body right and ready for another NFL game within just 3 days?
Yeah, there's always two things that come into play. It's always the mental and physical part. You have a short week mentally to get the game plan in, get your adjustments, and then really feel confident and rep them going into a game. The second thing is obviously physically. And, you know, I think that really battles with, you know, kind of the age of your team. The younger you are, you know, the ability to recover, I think you feel a little bit better, but your mind's going to be swimming more. And as the older guys, you know, the biggest thing is getting your body right for Sunday. I mean, I agree with Gary. I mean, there's times I'm not feeling particularly good till Saturday when I finally feel good to go, and then the game's the next day.
So when you have this short week, is there any type of prep done for this Seattle team, even though you're playing the Dolphins the previous week, or is it just a cram session after that game?
I think the coaches get a head start, but obviously not us. I mean, I think they're splitting time. They're splitting up their coaching responsibilities to have the quick turnaround, probably working on the game plan, obviously, before the Dolphin game has even started. But as players, I mean, obviously, the quickest turnaround is just really just forgetting about the Dolphin game and immediately jumping right into installs and then recovery.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle here on the Wendy's Big Show.
You look at the Seattle team, and they have been really struggling stopping the run. They've been really struggling stopping jet sweeps and end-arounds and so forth going into this game. Obviously, they're well aware of the fact that they've been struggling with it. But as an offense, you've got to be licking your chops probably a little bit, especially in the offensive line, knowing you can kind of pound them a little bit on the ground, it looks like.
Absolutely. We want to take advantage of that. We'll see come Thursday if that's what we decide to do. And, you know, the biggest thing on road games is to kind of take the energy out of the home team. And that's obviously also the fan base. And we know everyone knows or has an idea of how loud Seattle has, and that's a tribute to them and their fan base. But anytime you can sustain run game and continuously chop away at the defense down by down, you start creating a little bit of a lull, and the energy level in the stadium kind of starts deflating a little bit, and that's really big for road offenses in general.
Yeah, it's demoralizing for your opponent and for the fans in the stadium. It just takes the air out of the team and that 12th man, as they like to call it out there in Seattle, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely.
We've talked with you in previous weeks about some of the stuff that's gone on in your guys' locker room as this season has moved along, and you voiced your displeasure with an anonymous player speaking up about what Ty Montgomery did on that kickoff. And last week, Randall Cobb said going into this game against Miami that there have been times where you guys were losing games before, but this just felt different, and this wasn't fun for you guys, what's transpired so far in this season. Do you feel that it's been different? And if so, how much did that win over Miami cure whatever it was that was ailing you guys going into that week?
You know, to piggyback off of what Randall said, I think every season you have a different vibe. You have a different, nucleus of your team. Of course you're not feeling good. You know, when you're losing, no one's happy, especially, we're the Green Bay Packers. We live in Titletown. The main trophy that you strive for every year is named after – one of the coaches here that's enshrined in history. So for us, when the success that we've had throughout history, we take it personally when we aren't performing and playing to the standard that we expect to be playing at. So I completely understand and see exactly where he's coming from. And, I think, winning cures everything. So just got to keep winning and that'll cure everything.
Yeah, you hear that, and it sort of becomes cliche because it said so much, David, that winning cures all when we talk about locker room chemistry or whatever might go on, not just in an NFL locker room, but across the world of pro sports. But that really is true. It's not cliche for no reason. It's cliche because that really is the truth, isn't it? That winning cures all when you guys have gone through some of the stuff like what you've gone through this season already.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to complain when you're successful. When things are going your way, why be mad?
Right.
How can you be mad? Now, obviously when adversity hits, things aren't going your way. The whole life isn't fair. That's where you see, I'm taking the context outside of football.
Mm-hmm.
There's not too many people that are particularly pleased with that.
That's David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, and our guest every Tuesday at 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Know you got a flight to catch to head out to Seattle. David, safe travels. Good luck Thursday night, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
We appreciate you. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Just something that came across Twitter. You know me, always on Twitter looking at
yes.
stuff. This is pretty cool.
Always.
Emily Walden.
I was just about to retweet this.
I already did. National prospect cool. writer at The Athletic, MLB, tweeted this out. Now, just listen to what she's got to say. Told by an American League scout, not an National League scout if it matters, an American League scout regarding Brewers' Keston Hira. Quote, "We all talk about the bat of Vladdy," meaning Vladimir Guerrero, which had a huge power bat, "with obvious reason, but outside of Vladdy, I'd call Keston the purest power bat I saw out in Arizona." Now, she's talking about Vladdy Guerrero Jr., who's out there. "But I'd call Keston the purest power bat I saw out in Arizona. He's just a special, special kid." This coming from an American League scout talking about Keston Hira. If this kid can hold and play second base, and he was playing it much better by the end of the year, if he can hold and play second base, and you can put this kid in this lineup to go along with Yelich and Kane and Aguilar and these guys, whoo, buddy, watch out. This may be, everybody always said, you know, who's the brawn? Who's the fielder of this farm system? Who's that guy? I think he's that guy now. What do you think, Robbie? You think he's that guy?
I told you last year I thought he might make it up to the major league squad before the season was over. And Adam McAlvey, everybody was calling me crazy. Adam said, yeah, I could see that happening. Now, it didn't happen.
Well, they were in a run. They weren't going to pull up a rookie.
Exactly. But this coming season, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't sniff the major leagues, at least for a stint here and there, because you know injuries are going to happen, slumps are going to happen over the course of a season. You're going to call guys up for spells. We saw that a lot last year, especially early in the season. I really think that Keston Hira probably won't start the season on the major league roster, but could be on the 40-man roster, and you could see him somewhat regularly up at the big league level with a chance to earn a regular spot at the big league level. I think he's that good of a hitter. I've been saying this since they drafted him.
It will be telling to me if they don't go out and sign a true free agent second baseman of what they think of Keston Hira.
Or a third baseman, in which case Travis Shaw would move to second.
Right. That would
be more permanent basis.
Right. If they don't do anything like that, and Shaw's at third, and shortstop looks like it's going to be Arcia until Dubon's ready to go coming off of his injury, if that's what it's going to be, then it's Jonathan Schoop if they decide to do what they're going to do with Jonathan Schoop, and then Keston Hira possibly. I don't know if he starts in spring training, but you see, if Schoop plays second base and he struggles early, they may go get him in May or June and bring him up. And if he can hit, they'll deal with whatever he provides defensively.
He was just tearing up the Arizona Fall League.
Well, and he hit over 400 in his first big league camp. But too, like when you talk about May or June, Sparky, because then they can let that service clock.
Correct. That's
tick
what it's all
out.
About. Yep.
But it also gives you a chance because you're going to have to bring Schoop back and see what the guy can give you.
Unless you trade him.
Unless you can trade
him. Or non-tender him.
Good luck then.
Or non-tender.
Good luck with that.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. We're going to wait and find out. Very, very fun. And then the other news that broke, Golden State is benching Draymond Green tonight and not playing him.
Can we talk about that situation a little bit?
Can we do
Spark
in the game too?
We will do all that.
All right.
Right after this on the Wendy's Big Show. This is from the Black Panther film. Sparky, did you see Black Panther? You saw Black Panther, didn't you? Really? No?
Want to buy it. Going to buy it Black Friday, probably.
See,
I've been waiting for the price to drop on that stupid Blu-ray, but it's not moving.
I don't
want to get the DVD. I want the Blu-ray.
You don't
and
have...
the digital.
Because you've seen, like, Avengers Infinity War, haven't you?
Yeah.
And other Marvel movies that have come out since
Boys
Black
and Panther.
Boys
care all about it, so we've been watching it all.
So you don't have the type of OCD that I have, which is that I can't watch any TV show or any movie. Like, if it's a series, I can't watch them out of order. Cannot watch them out of order.
See, I don't pay attention enough to know one way or the other. Like, I just live in the moment for that movie. I'm not trying to follow along with all these.
So
damn
you have no
lines.
Idea.
I'm in the same
no,
boat.
I don't
That's
care.
Why I can't get down you with have, all these superheroes.
Having
you
said
have
that,
no idea how all the different Marvel universes are connected through the movies.
I just know the one guy smashes through the wall, and that was cool.
Yeah. Right.
What?
You and I should go to a Marvel movie together. We get along great. This is the thing, though. Now, that's for Marvel movies, right?
Yes.
Now, because I'm an old guy, right? Rocky? Now, that I got on lock.
Ooh, they had 1, 2, 4, and Creed on what used
to be
Spike TV.
Have you seen the second Creed coming out on Thanksgiving? Seen the trailer?
But I haven't seen the first Creed.
Oh, you need to go see it.
I know.
I got that
I know.
At home.
I want to see
I'll
it.
I'll bring that in for you.
I recorded it on the DVR, but I probably should watch the uncut version.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much of a difference there is, but...
Well, there are commercials.
I saw the one at the movie theater, and it was really good. I thought it was a great movie. Like, I don't care if it was a Rocky movie
things.
Or not. It was a really, really good movie. This one here, we're talking about the Russian dude coming back with his kid or whatever else, and now Creed gets to fight him. And Rock, oh, man, get out of here, man. Let's go. I cannot wait. I'm so excited for that movie. I went to that first Creed movie by myself on a Tuesday morning. Went on a Tuesday morning and watched a movie all by myself in a movie theater.
You know what
it was a $5 Tuesday.
Yeah.
You can't touch a Market Cinema on a $5 Tuesday at night. You're never going to get in. The only time you could go, and if you're fortunate like me, you don't work on a Tuesday morning, you go on a Tuesday morning, spend your $5, and have the whole movie theater to yourself.
What time they start letting you in on those morning movies?
10 a.m., I think, was the movie I saw.
That's too early for us, baby. Tough. That ain't happening.
You know what? I was thinking 11. I got to be here at 1. We could maybe make it.
You know what right. I hear? You know what I hear about Creed though is that just like the original Rocky, the first Rocky movie,
right.
Is that it's a love story disguised, masked as a boxing story, as like a
almost cried in Creed.
Really?
And you know me, I don't.
Yeah,
cry.
You don't cry.
I almost cried. Creed.
Wow.
It was a great movie.
I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great movie.
Really?
It was a great movie.
Sparky's all fired up for the
dude, I can't wait
Creed
for that movie.
Sequel.
Keep
that energy for this.
What play lit up the crowd? Let's get yesterday's spark of the game. Powered by Current Electric. Innovative lighting solutions since 1983. Go to currentelectricco.com.
It was a 31-12 victory over the Dolphins on Sunday, Sparky. What was the spark of the game brought to us by Current Electric?
Spark of the game, I think it was Aaron Jones' big run on the second possession that the Packers had to break this thing kind of wide open. He eventually scores on a short touchdown run. But for me, that was spark of the game. Man, Current Electric came over my house, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to redo that basement room or whatever. And in the basement, our house, we got just ceiling outlets. That's it. So if you're trying to
like
make that
power outlets, like
yes,
plugs,
are just in the ceiling, right? So if you want to run a TV cord, you got to put it in an extension cord and run it straight up to the ceiling and do it that way. There are no outlets on the lower part of the walls. And
yeah, your kids are too, you don't want to put poles there to line through to keep the cords loose.
Anyways, so
you're too young for that.
Right. So I saw those guys at Current Electric, and they're like, yeah, we can come over and help you out. So now we've got these outlets all along the base. And, man, these guys, I was talking to Mike McGivern about this. They did the same thing to him that they did to me. So you tell them your vision. You know what they do to you? That's good. But what about this? And then all of a sudden the vision becomes bigger and better, right? I didn't envision a little track light. Yeah, 2 or 3 lights and done. Now I'm going to have an 8-foot track of lights on one side, 12-foot track of lights on the other side. Oh, man.
That's what's up.
When are baby Tausch and I invited over for movie night?
It's good. Oh, that's happening.
Oh.
Oh, that. We're going to do that.
I was saying that facetiously, expecting some sort of snarky remark.
About. No, not at all. No, I think Kay and I have already talked about it.
We're going to have a fan staff movie night?
Yeah. And then you guys watch Jackson. Me and Kay are going to go on a date. And then you guys can have at it.
Is he potty trained yet?
Doing it right now, so he will be by the time we get it done.
I told you, I'll babysit as soon as the kid knows how to use a toilet.
Yeah.
You let this man watch your kid?
No, he said fan staff, so you're going too. Yeah.
Really? You decided just to group me into this? Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, dude.
You, baby Tausch, Uncle Leroy, Gary won't come.
I'm telling you
Uncle
right now,
Leroy,
though.
You three will have a good time.
Jackson is watching the movie I pick. We're not watching no kids' movies.
Well, that's what Marvel is.
You want us to watch Marvel movies?
I don't care what you watch.
I was gonna
he was gonna bring like Halloween or something.
The Godfather, maybe.
Oh, that's he don't care about that.
Okay,
whatever. He's not gonna pay attention to that.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
He won't pay attention to the screen anyhow. Purge. He's just gonna be climbing all over the entire time, wanting to do something.
He's a big fan of Rami.
He is. Oh,
he's a big fan of
Monkey
Rami.
He made Rami so uncomfortable the other day, baby Tausch.
Monkey Rami.
Yeah, he made him.
Can't go unaddressed.
He made Rami so uncomfortable the other day. Rami went to give him a hug, and Jackson was not letting go. He was just holding on to Robbie.
It
like,
didn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Hug ever. And Robbie's like, okay, we're going to have to get you on now, buddy. Because
he hit the 7-second rule where he started saying that he was going home with
you. It was definitely the 7-second rule.
It was weird. Yeah. I'm just not used to being shown affection by other humans. That's all. That's the only reason.
Man, Casey, what is going on at your house?
Hey, boo-boo.
What is going on that he would even say that on the radio?
We'll hit a quick break.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we'll reset the big
time. That's why you have a dog.
You all right, man?
That's why he has a dog.
Let's talk off the air, guys.
I feel bad.
We'll reset the big topics.
I'll tell it on the air during the
discussed on today's big show. Give you the final say on it with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. That's next on the Wendy's Big Show.